The Imperial Navy picked up a lot of survivors, but in the end, Peter survived it. The survivors of this disaster just simply communicated that the Byzantines hadn't supported us. They gave all sorts of rationalizations why this outfit had failed. In addition, the Sultan was not impressed. If this is the best the West could hurl against him, the Sultan of Konya thought, no problem. We can easily handle these new allies of Alexis. However, different forces began to arrive in the fall of 1096 and continued to arrive into the spring of 1097. And these were the disciplined armies of the princes I had described earlier. The first to arrive was Hugh of Vermandois, that is the younger son of the King of France, the younger brother of the King of France, Philip I. He was soon followed, and he came with a rather small force, crossed over from Italy, and marched up the traditional military highway, the Via Ignatia, which cuts across northern Greece. The really impressive army was that of Godfrey, which followed in the wake of the People's Crusade, and that aggravated Godfrey's supply problems. By the time Godfrey and the East Franks arrived, including his brother Baldwin, the future king of Jerusalem, there were very bad tensions between the Crusaders and the Byzantine government. Later groups arrived with less difficulties, Raymond, Robert Curthose, and above all, Bohemond. Bohemond was probably the most feared. Bohemond landed his army efficiently. It clearly was large. We estimate that these armies may have been anywhere on the order of 10,000, but the Norman army was particularly large, disciplined veterans, and they were following the same route they had followed back in 1091, 1081, 1085, when Robert Guiscard had marched on Constantinople. So by the spring of 1097, these crusader armies, these armies of the princes, had been again transported to Asia Minor and had advanced on Nicaea by May of 1097 to put that first military objective now under siege. Now, before this was accomplished, and without getting into too many of the details, Alexis had made certain points very clear to the Crusader princes, and we have varying accounts on this. For one, he took oaths of homage from all of these princes. Alexis was astute enough to know that these oaths meant a great deal to the princes. These were solemn religious services. Raymond of Toulouse refused to take the oath. He actually took a modified oath that was probably very common in southern France. He claimed that his higher loyalty was to God, to Holy Mother Church, and this was part of Raymond's posturing, that he was a close friend of the papal legate Ottomer, and it was really probably more directed at Bohemond. Bohemond eagerly took the oath, and at the time, in 1096-1097, when these oaths were being taken, Bohemond was considering the option of, well, look, appoint me domestic of the East, that is, Byzantine commander of the East. I can do the job for you, Alexis. Alexis wasn't going to go that far. But it was clear that Alexis expected these princes to regard him as their overlord, and so any lands that would be conquered that were formerly imperial lands would revert to Alexis. That he would be the ultimate authority or suzerain or whatever. Now, the political arrangements were by no means worked out. No one knew what this expedition was going to end up with. But clearly, Alexis was concerned about his provinces in Asia Minor. He did understand from the start that these princes had a religious objective in mind. Ultimately, they wanted to get to Jerusalem. Alexis's concern was first securing his lost provinces in Asia Minor. And we're not sure of the details, but from the start, there was a certain ambiguity here. Quite honestly, any land the Crusaders would pass through at one time was under the authority of the Emperor in Constantinople. And I think Alexis knew that, and I think the princes knew it. There wasn't any kind of understanding, well, Jerusalem's really yours and Asia Minor's are. I don't think they drew out the world at all like that. The understanding was Alexis was their overlord. And most of the princes stuck to that allegiance very carefully, and it took certain events for Bohemond and others to renounce that allegiance. Another important point is that Alexis supplied military aid. Now, the Byzantines would have you believe that the Crusaders didn't know what they were doing, that as they began to siege Nicaea, actually there was always a danger they would besiege Constantinople, that when they began to besiege Nicaea, that it was the Byzantines who gave them the artillery. There was a Byzantine military unit commanded by a fellow named Tatticus who accompanied the crusade to, well, he got as far as Antioch and then deserted in January of 1098, that, again, the Byzantines were providing the technical assistance, the logistics, the money necessary for this expedition to succeed.